Hi, I'm Maggie Brennan, music director here at WCBE. We're excited to announce our new web exclusive, Live from Studio A Replay, where you can listen to some of our best Studio A sessions. We're dedicated to bringing you great music from around the world and from right here in Central Ohio. And that type of extraordinary service is only possible with your support. So please, consider making a donation of any amount by clicking the red donate button at the top of the page and keep the music going. And we thank you for your support.
We're live in Studio A with Warren Haynes. Welcome back, Warren.
Glad to be back.
And you can find Warren and Government Mule performing tonight at the Promo West Pavilion. We'll be giving some tickets away to the show as well as the new CD, The Deep End. And you can find Government Mule to be Warren Haynes, Rob Baracco, Matt Apps, and Dave Schools tonight all together. And I believe doors are at 7 o'clock tonight. And I'm going to ask you to play one song and come back and ask you about the new album and what's going on with all your other projects.
Sounds good.
What's this first one you're going to do?
I'm going to do Beautifully Broken, which is a song from the Deep End Volume 1. The Deep End album is us with all these different bass players after Alan Woody passed away. And this particular song on the record was performed by Stefan Lessard from the Dave Matthews Band. Mysterious, blown in with the night, all this beauty captured in a frame, visibly shaken, but never stirred, drives them insane. I see the way she plays her man, and I know I've got to know her name. She's so beautifully broken, shaped by the wind, dangerously twisted. Here I go again. Cast a spell, it's like drowning in moonlight, discards them and she's done, they're lost in her twilight. I watch her move from star to star, and I wonder why it feels so right. She's so beautifully broken, you can barely see the flow, especially from a distance, which is always how I fall. Why do I fall for the dangerous ones, the ones who never learned to let go? And why do I lie to myself, pretend that I can break her, when she's already been so shaped by the wind, dangerously twisted. Here I go again. Here I go again. Here I go again.
Beautifully Broken. That's off the new album, The Deep End. We're live in Studio A with Warren Haynes of Government Mule. Again, they perform tonight at the Promo West Pavilion. And on this new album, tons of great bass players, John Entwistle, Mike Gordon, Bootsy Collins, John Scofield playing with Chris Wood, and a bunch of other great players helping you out. Had you worked with all these guys before, or had Alan Woody?
Most of them we had just met. There were a few of them that we knew, and we kind of started with a few of the people that we knew so we could record with a handful of these great people and then go to everybody else and say, this is what we already have. What do you think, you know? But for the most part, it was like walking in the studio, meeting people for the first time, getting to know each other, rehearsing, recording, and then 24 hours later, see you later. You know, it was great. We forged a lot of lifelong relationships this way. But, you know, it's just a shame that something this beautiful had to come out of something so tragic, you know.
And who played with you for the first time when you – I know you went out with Matt Apps as a duo after the passing of Alan, but who was the first bass player?
To play live with us? Uh-huh. Dave Schools, who is with us now from Widespread Panic. Dave is one of the people instrumental in convincing us that we could keep it going. He said, you know, I know you guys may not want to carry through with it, but if you do, I'm here. If you need me, let me know. And – he kind of even said, "Hey, I'll be learning all your songs in the meantime." So, Dave really was close friends with Woody and close friends of all of us, and has really had a lot to do with keeping Government Mule together.
And this is the first volume. What about what's up with the second volume? When will that be out? And
Volume 2 is coming out in May, and a lot of great bass players and a lot of great other musicians on there as well. Phil Lesh, Jack Cassidy, George Porter Jr., Michelle Indigicello, Les Claypool, really a lot of great folks. Billy Cox from Jimi Hendrix Band of Gypsies is on there. And there's a documentary coming out that Mike Gordon from Phish directed of the whole experience, and that's going to come out later in the year, too.
And what about your work with Phil Lesh and the Allman Brothers? Isn't there something new you're going to still be working with the Allman Brothers as well, right?
I started working with the Allman Brothers last year for the first time since Woody and I left in 97. And it was one of those things that never would have presented itself had Woody not passed away, because we were so gung-ho, full-tilt Government Mule. But after Woody died, Matt and I pretty much canceled everything, with the exception of those Ben Harper shows that we did as a duo. We just canceled the whole future of Government Mule. So I found myself working some with Phil Lesh and some with the Allman Brothers, which was very, very therapeutic to help me get through that whole process. And I'm still doing both of those things. We just finished Phil Lesh's new record that's hopefully going to come out probably in May as well. And then we finished half of an Allman Brothers record, and we're going to go back in probably April or so and finish the other half of that.
And the documentary, when's that coming out? I'm sorry.
Originally, it was supposed to come out between now and May, but there's been a lot of theatrical interest in it, film festivals and what have you. So they're kind of postponing the release of it to take advantage of the theatrical interest that's happening with the film festivals and a possible theater release. So it'll be later this year, and I'm really excited about it. Mike did a wonderful job with it.
Talk about the first time you went out on the road. How old were you, and was it Ricochet?
Oh, my God. Ricochet was not my first band, but my first good band. God, I must have been 16 or something when Ricochet was together, maybe 15. And that's not anything to do with the Ricochet now. There's a band called Ricochet now that's like a country rock band, and that wasn't us. But we had a cool little band together in North Carolina that toured around, and that lasted up until, I guess up until the time I started playing with David Allan Coe, which was 1980. I joined Coe's band when I was 20 years old. Of course, he's from around here, right? All the people around here know who he is.
he comes to here quite often.
But I've been touring on and off pretty much my whole life, I guess, you know.
What about the different sounds? Do you feel that it's a lot different when you go on stage with Phil Lesh or when you're on stage with Government Mule, or as opposed to the Allman Brothers?
Well, each band has its own sound, and each band requires you to play a little bit different. But it's kind of a natural thing that happens, you know. you don't really think about it a lot. You know, most musicians that, that play improvisational music are just responding to what's going on around them. And so, you know, instantly when I walk on stage with Phil Lesh, of course, I have a little bit of different instrumentation in Phil's band. In each band, I choose different guitars, different amps, different effects and stuff. But they all have a lot in common as well, and mostly the improvisation and melding all the different genres of music together, you know. And when people ask me, do you ever forget which band you're playing in? And I'm like, no, it that doesn't really happen. Forget what city you're in, but not which band.
Let's give a pair of tickets away right now for the show tonight. It's at the Promo West Pavilion. And let's take the first caller that Warren Haynes, what's the name of his first good band that he was in at around age 16? Very first caller, 8219-223. Can you tell us a favorite memory of making this album, The Deep End? I heard something about Larry Graham and some funny, or read something about.
Well, there were so many great moments. Larry Graham surprised us all. Let's just start with the fact that he was there 2 days and he brought 3 suits with him. We were taking a lunch break one day and he started playing this impromptu bass solo. Nobody was watching except his wife. It was basically him and his wife. And in the theater where we recorded, there's a big stage and room for an audience, you know. And it was just an empty theater. He was just playing. And in his mind, he was like at Woodstock with 500,000 people. And it was unbelievable. And so eventually we all trickled down from the control room and started watching him. And eventually one of the camera guys started filming him and stuff. So we did get part of that moment on tape for the documentary. That was wonderful. Working with Jack Bruce was wonderful, obviously. Jack Bruce, probably Woody's all-time favorite bass player. If Woody had to pick a favorite bass player, he would probably pick Jack Bruce as his biggest influence. But as cliche as it might sound, every one of them was remarkable. You know, all these people are legendary for a reason, and each experience was amazing. And you know, we had Woody's rig there, his bass rig that he always played through, and most of the bass players plugged into it and played through it, so that kind of kept a nice little spiritual connection going as well.
Nice.
Michelle in the Gicello shocked everyone. I mean, we all knew she was great, but how great she was, I don't think we knew until we started recording with her. She was just amazing.
Can I ask, I'm sure there were many, but on a different kind of favorite moment note, one of your favorite moments with Woody? I know there's plenty, but one that sticks out most?
Woody was just one of the funniest people I've ever met, you know, and when we think about Woody these days, now that we're kind of past the, you know, it's been a year and a half and we're kind of past the deep grief of all of it, what we wind up thinking about is Woody the prankster, Woody the practical joker. And most of that stuff I couldn't really say on the air, you know. Woody played practical jokes on people constantly, and sometimes they were on the borderline of being tasteless. but he was just... He was a comedian, you know. He was one of the funniest people I've ever met. I remember him telling this guy one time when we were coming out of rehearsal with the Allman Brothers, you know, and most people, if they knew Woody, knew what a fashion statement he was. He would wear, this particular day, he had on pink Harvard sweatpants that said Harvard across the leg. And he had these brown leather, actually brown suede fringe boots with his sweatpants stuck down into them and some sort of tank top. You know, he was mixing metaphors as much as possible. And we were leaving rehearsal, and this friend of ours from North Carolina was hanging out with us. And we walked out of the rehearsal, and there was a guy there, and none of us knew him, but our friend knew him. And they had had some sort of beef, and the guy wanted to pick a fight with our friend, and I remember Woody looking at him and saying, don't let these Richard Simmons pants fool you. I'll kick your... And it was very graphic. I probably shouldn't go into how graphic it was, but those moments were constant. You know, he was just a very colorful person.
Warren Haynes live in Studio A again tonight. There's a show at the Promo West Pavilion. It's Government Mule, Warren Haynes, Rob Baracco, Matt Apps, Dave Schools, and doors are at 7. And that's tonight at 7 at the Promo West Pavilion. I want to thank you so much for coming by, and hopefully you'll play this last song.
You betcha. I'd be glad to. This is actually going to be a single. A lot of people have been playing it on the radio for a long time, but it's finally going to be a single.
Live in Studio A with Warren Haynes. Thanks for coming back, Warren.
Glad to be here.
Nice to see you again. He performs with Government Mule tonight at the Promo West Pavilion. We'll give some tickets away in just a bit. Who else is playing on bass and whatever else you got tonight?
Well, we added a permanent keyboard player, Danny Lewis, who goes way back with me, played with me when I did a solo tour behind Tales of Ordinary Madness in 1993. Danny has also co-written a lot of songs with me, like Beautifully Broken and Life Before Insanity and Trying Not to Fall from the new CD. And on bass tonight, and actually on this whole tour, we have two bass players. Greg Arzab, who played not only with Buddy Guy for 12 years, but played with Jimmy Page and the Black Crowes, and also on bass, George Porter Jr. from the Meters, yes, who is also performed with everybody from Robbie Robertson to David Byrne. And they're both dear friends and great players, and we're honored to have them out with us.
Government Mule, they perform live tonight at the Promo West Pavilion. They got a brand new album out. It's a second volume, The Deep End, and I think are we gonna hear a new one from that right now?
Yeah, the song I'm gonna do first is on The Deep End Volume 2 with our friend Michelle Indigicello playing bass and John Medeski of Medeski Martin and Wood playing keyboards. This is obviously the stripped down version, but we actually. This is one of the few songs on The Deep End that we did before Alan Woody passed away. We used to do this with Woody playing mandolin, but we never had bass on it until after Woody died. And so this version that's on The Deep End Volume 2 is way different than the way we used to do it. But it's a beautiful old song.
Show your neighbor what a friend is for with a open heart and an open door. The first one reaches for his mother's breast. He knows up from down and he knows he's from west. Takes more than a hammer, more than a hammer and nails. Takes more than a hammer and nails to make a house a home. 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 It takes more than a hammer, more than a hammer and nails. It takes more than a hammer and nails to make a house a home. To make a house.
Hammer and Nails, it's a new one off the new album, not necessarily performing new. It's been played for a while, but that one with Michelle and Diacello. I always have trouble saying that.
Yeah, us too, and we're friends.
But she's one of the bassists that have stepped up since Woody's passing in 2000.
Yeah.
And many others, Les Claypool, Jack Cassidy, Phil Lesh, the list goes on. Not only bassists, but great organ players, and mandolin, David Grisman, and plenty of great musicians. Who goes about organizing the recording sessions and getting everybody to do?
Well, that was a lot of work. Stephanie, our manager, had a lot to do with the coordination, and she definitely had her plate full. I was left with the task of kind of deciding who should play what and all that kind of stuff, but at least I didn't have to deal with all the plane flights and hotels and FedExes and faxes and all that kind of stuff. But it was a lot of work. You know, really the most important part was picking the right song for the right bass player to make sure that each bass player could kind of showcase his or her personality. And that sometimes was the biggest mission of all. You know, more energy and thought was put into that than anything else. Sometimes it meant writing a song with a certain bass player in mind. Sometimes it meant writing with the bass player. Sometimes I would just go through my old songs that I'd been wanting to record for a long time and see if one of them popped out and that made sense for a certain artist. And a couple of cases we chose covers just to kind of... usually when we chose a cover, there was some sort of story behind it, some reason why we did the cover, you know, but... I can say it's predominantly a new original material.
Like What Is Hip? What story did that?
Well, What Is Hip we recorded with Rocco Prestia, who was, people that don't know, the bass player for Tower Power. And Rocco was so influential among bassists. A lot of people that aren't musicians or aren't bass players may not know who Rocco Prestia is, but all the great bass players love Rocco, like Jaco Pastorius cited Rocco as one of his primary influences. And Woody, of course, was a huge Rocco fan. And the song What Is Hip influenced all three of us. And we actually tease a little part of the song Mule in What Is Hip to kind of show the similarities in the way we approach both of those tunes. And working with Rocco, he's just such one of a kind. His bass style is so unique, and playing that song with him was a really deep honor for us. And Rocco just went through a liver transplant, and he needs people's support.
Great. And was this all recorded at Les Claypool Studio, or just some of it?
It actually doesn't belong to Les. He just kind of was friends with the guy who owns it. And turned us on to it. It was this little studio in Forestville, California, called In the Pocket. And it was just way in the middle of nowhere in the mountains. It started out as a guy's home studio, and then he eventually turned it into a commercial studio.
but it's a fabulous place. Great, great gear, great equipment, great old microphones and stuff. And the most serene place in the world. I mean, it's literally like an hour and a half north of San Francisco. You don't just drop by there. but Les turned us on to that place. So the first six bass players, who all somehow wound up on Volume 2, were done at that studio. The rest of the stuff was done in New York at a place called the Theater 99, which is an old Yiddish vaudeville theater from the 30s that's been converted into a recording studio.
Oh. Warren A. Haynes, he's live in Studio A. We're going to give a pair of tickets away right now at 821-9223. We'll take caller number 6. Greg Allman was in town last night, and one of your side projects, the Allman Brothers, as well as playing with Phil Lesh and Friends. Is this whole tour just going to be doing with Government Mule in support of the new album?
Yeah, we finished the Allman Brothers tour. The Allman Brothers also finished a new record, which is going to come out January, February. And other than that, the Allman Brothers are done for the year. The Phil Lesh thing is on hiatus for now because the other ones are back together. So Government Mule is really focusing on promoting the Deep End right now. And it's been a blast. I mean, we have anywhere from 2 to 5 bass players every night, and depending on who shows up, you know. And it's just been a lot of fun, and we're really psyched about it.
Well, I want to thank you so much for dropping by again and playing live for us and talking a bit about the album.
My pleasure.
Thanks again.
Always.
And we'll see you tonight.
Yes, we will. that we're very much looking forward to. I'm going to do a song off of Phil Lesh's record.
Great.
Is it time for that now?
Yes.
Okay.
You go.
This is a song that I wrote a long time ago that needed a home. And when we decided to do a Phil and Friends album, it just kind of made perfect sense. He wore a song around his neck like some medal of honor. He carried his wisdom like a knife. Empty pocket was their temporary chain. Knowing you got it coming ain't no crime. Every blue note that rolled off his tongue, you could feel his soul twisting right in two. Nobody knew where it came from. Oh, but everybody knew. Everybody knew was the real thing. No doubt about it. The kind that you remember when they're gone. Real thing. Put here for a reason. Do something. Like passion's fire, burning smoke.
sometimes the night longs for her whisper, but it hides from the dawn, cause it always wakes to find her gone. Some broken down dressing room, and some major city, the thunder plays an old familiar tune. Despise the face of a distant angel outside beneath the halo moon. Finger on the trigger, needle in the vein. One more bullet might be your last ride. This ain't no no-show, this ain't no nervous breakdown, and it shows hell ain't the time to let the fool decide. This is the real thing, no doubt about it. Who cares if they love you with your gone? This is the real thing. So you were put here for a reason. What gives you the right to quit your time? In a way, this ain't no game. This is the real thing. He wore a song around his neck like some medal of honor. He carried his wisdom like a knife.